everyone, to another One Prez Pod and Ram Ask a Question. This is Ram Cunningham, and with me, Miss Tasha Blackburn. How are you, Tasha?
That's right. I am fine. We thought this day would never come.
I know,
Ram.
It's been
never,
so long.
Never.
It's been so long.
I think one of the seven seals has been busted open to the end of time because Ram Ask a Question is back.
It's back. This is the first one of 2024.
Exactly.
Ooh, the new year.
The first of many.
How do we kick off a new year? What a great year.
Well, I think you decided you wanted to kick off the new year by, you know, bashing half of the population.
Well, I don't know if bashing. How about discussing in detail the other part, the other human in this world, the other half of the human. No, I did. I wrote a question down and I said, I want to talk about Eve. I want to talk about Eve. And my question is, you know, she is at the very beginning. I hear.
I've heard that.
At the very beginning of the book. She's one of the main characters in the very beginning of the story.
Yeah.
But I'm curious as to why females don't have a little bit of beef with Eve because of, I guess, what she did.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like that she's been given quite the slap on the wrist for being the first person in the world to sin.
Yeah. She gets a lot of bad press, doesn't she?
She really does.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. You know, I think, I'm going to show my cards here because it all depends on how you read scripture. So we have friends, brothers and sisters in the Christian faith who are going to say they read that literally. There was literally an Adam, there was literally an Eve, and she literally ate that apple, and it's literally her fault, right? I'm going to say, we're Presbyterian, but in the Presbyterian tradition, we look at that story in Genesis and we don't say it's prescriptive, as in, like, we don't think it's a judgment there on, like, these particular people at this period of time. We think it's descriptive. So, like, you've just read Genesis 1, which is this beautiful thing, like, and, you know, it was, everything was chaos, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was light and darkness, and God said, it's good, and there's the first day. Like, you've had this whole, like, 7 days of creation, and it's gorgeous, and it's amazing, and even more important, as God says, it's good. And then you have the folks who wrote that down and said, that's everything we believe about God. We believe he made this. We believe he said it's good. We believe he's good, right? And then they're looking out their window going, so then what the heck? Like, I'm looking out my window going, I believe at the core of me that God made all of this. God said it was good, and that God is good. So why my neighbor just hit my other neighbor, you know, and why is that stream not completely clean? And why, you know, right? So they're looking around, and they're trying to describe the world they see. How can God be good and God have created all this and there be trouble? And one of the many stories we get, I mean, we get it in the Tower of Babel, we get it in a lot of these early stories in Genesis, is trying to describe the problem. And so Eve gets the flack, right? Mm-hmm. But I would like to point out, I do have to point out that, you know, Adam also ate of the apple. Anyway, he ate it out of hearsay.
It feels to me like, though, that story could very easily have been, just the roles have been switched.
Well, of course.
Just as easily. And I would, I think...
And they might as well have been, because...
I wish that they kind of would have been. Because it makes it a little bit more easy. Because of that, I think that, you know, sort of Eve gets sort of the raw end of the deal.
She does.
As far as, like, you know, as a woman, she did this, and therefore...
Yeah. But look at what they're describing. Like, look at what they're describing. The curse... You know, after what we call the fall, the curse from their actions are, hey, Adam, the ground is really going to fight against you, and it's going to be hard to till it, and it's going to be hard to make a living off it. It's going to break your back, right? That's Adam's curse, termed Adam's curse. And Eve's curse is, hey, Eve, Adam's going to be bigger than you. And sometimes want to use that bigness against you. And also, it's going to hurt to have a baby. So it's describing what I see in my out my window. I don't know about, I mean, I don't see people giving birth mm-hmm. out my window, but metaphorically.
It's time to move, Dasha.
It's what I, yeah. What neighborhood am I living in? You wouldn't believe the rental rates, though. But anyway, but I mean, it's describing what we see. Mm-hmm. And what I think is so amazing about that story, which I think we pass over it too quickly, is because we don't know, but the most common creation story that they would have heard in their neighborhood, the most common creation story at the time that Genesis was written down, was that all of planet Earth was, wait for it, was the decaying body of a goddess who'd been killed. Your mountains, your valleys, your rivers, your streams, those beautiful sunsets, this is all just the decaying body of a goddess. That was the primary creation story that they would have been hearing from their neighbors. And what that means is they look around and they think, well, I don't need to describe why there's trouble. I know why, because this place stinks, like literally stinks. Death is all around. None of it has any meaning. None of it's any good. It's something to try to, you know, just bear up under. And in the face of that, they wrote the complete opposite. They're like, I don't care what you see out your window. God made all this, and it's all good. It is good. And I'm going to like defiantly stand here and say, it's good, mm-hmm. right? So then the follow-up story of trying to then figure out why there's trouble is, I think it's really interesting because they say, like, when you're looking at why there's trouble, you have a three parts to your problem, and that this is sort of traditionally the story. So if God is all good and evil is real, God is all powerful, evil is real, and God is all good. And the question is, like, can all three stand together? Mm-hmm. If he's all powerful and he's all good and evil's real, where are you going to fudge? Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because you see in the story, they'll fudge on all powerful. They fudge on God's power because God gives Adam and Eve some power. They don't use it well. Mm-hmm. That sounds like looking out my neighborhood window too, by the way. They don't use it well, but God gives them power and releases some of that power. He refuses to be a puppet master. Mm-hmm. And so the God is all powerful has to be kind of questioned, right? But then we don't fudge on evil is real. There they are. The only one that they will hold true to and will not waver from is God is good, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's really interesting. And I think about even in my own faith life, like, how do I hold up those three? How do I look around and go, are you sure it's not a decaying goddess's body? Because, I mean, I could be convinced. Like, really? You look in the Middle East right now. You look in Ukraine. I mean, just pick some of the hot spots or just pick trouble spots in our own town.
That's what I was about to say. It's like, let's fast forward now the story to 2024. I think we've got it all figured out. The violence,
right.
The hate.
I know.
It like, feels like it's sort of the same.
But it is this faith statement to mm-hmm. say, no, I believe that God made it, and I think he thinks it's good. Mm-hmm. And so then what's that mean? What's that mean that I'm supposed to have my eyes open for the good? I'm supposed to try to be part of the good if I can, right? So it's interesting. I think when women think about Eve, I don't know what women, I am a woman. I don't know what, I know what I think about Eve. I don't know what women think about Eve. I just think about her. It's like this story of growing up is what that story is. Like, you got a kid, I got a couple kids, mm-hmm. there they are. When they're little, you know, like one of the most beautiful passages I think we have in there is that when Adam and Eve are first in the garden, we read that they would walk with God in the cool of the evening breeze. Like in the garden, they would just walk and talk together. And I'm thinking about your kid. Your kid's 8. Okay, yes. My kids are 16 and 18. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, I don't know how much walking in the cool of the evening breeze you have left, but it will come to an end.
Sure.
Right? Like, I love my kids. Mm-hmm. They don't want to walk with me anywhere, mm-hmm. much less in the cool evening of breeze. The evening breeze, right? It's almost like that passage is this tale of growing up. And as painful as it is, it has to happen. And, power has to be given over because you don't actually have it anyway. You think you might, you don't. They're growing up. And so what's it mean when you grow up and you become conscious of your nakedness? Mm-hmm. So when I think about Eve, I think about both of them. Like, it's this painfulness of withdrawal, and it's this painfulness of not growing, of not being little anymore. Mm-hmm. And as much as you'd love to, like, go back to snuggle time, right? You aren't fully yourself until you grow into something else too. Like, and the entire rest of the Bible, and I think you could argue the entire rest of our lives, is about how close am I going to be to God when snuggle time is over?
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. Snuggle time is still with us, so that hits home there.
I know.
Like,
well,
I mean, it really does. Like, it's we're still in snuggle time. She's eight, but we're still there.
Well, and not to go too far down a rabbit trail, but I was just saying to somebody the other day, one of the best things they could give you with parenting is just like a warning, because even just one warning of like, this will be the last time they hold your hand, right? But you don't get a warning. Mm-mm. It's just over one day. Mm-hmm. And this is the last time they'll say, you know, will you read a book before? So I think about that, like one of the, it's a controversial word for God at this point in our culture, but I think it's a really important word. One of the, it's what Jesus called him, is Father. And I think we have that language for a really important reason, because the best relationship we can at all start to relate God to is a parent-child relationship. That's the closest we can get, and we're still way far off, right? But I think about how painful it's been for me to separate from my children, but loving them so much that I have to. I have to, because I love you enough for that. And I think about that with God. Like, God could just overshadow us all day long, right? And what choice would we have? But if you take that kind of parent idea, he just refuses. Mm-hmm. He just refuses, no matter how painful it is for him.
Right.
And no matter how painful it is for us.
Right.
Because he cannot do it for us,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's the best parent, who sees their child is in trouble, but knows, like, to this certain level, I have to let you walk that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's gonna be. I'm not ready for that. There's a lot of things I'm not ready for. Many things that I'm not ready for.
I know,
for,
and they just coming. Pounce upon you.
And they're gonna, and they're getting quicker too. At
and
eight,
one day just, they eat that apple, and you say, "I'm sorry, you can't live here anymore."
Right.
I mean, that's what happens in the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we think about this. I want to say one more thing about that story, at least, because people, we don't notice this in the story, but, you know, does God smite them down, right? And like turn them into ash? No. God just says, this isn't the home for you anymore. Like, you can't live here anymore. You actually have to go out there. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about growing up, right? You have to actually go out there. And, but before they go, like as they're going, it's really interesting because it's in the midst of all of this we think of as like curse and judgment and the fall and I'm mad and all this stuff, right? We think about all those things around it. But if you actually read the story, what he is doing right before he sends him out, he's sitting down and knitting him a set of clothes. I kid you not. Go back and look. God is sewing them a set, because they've realized they're naked, right? And now they're embarrassed because they grew up. And God is sitting there and making them a set of clothes so to take them out. That's a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hmm. That's a parent who says, I'll always be with you. I just can't be with you this way anymore. You ate the apple. You grew up. I love you, but you can't live like this with me anymore. You have to go out there. So I don't know. I mean, I feel a lot of, I think we're all supposed to feel a lot of akinness to Adam and to Eve, because everybody who's had to grow up,
mm-hmm.
at whatever level that means, because it means a lot of different things at different stages in our life. It's not just turning 18, right? There's a whole set of our life circumstances where it's like, oh, well, uh-oh.
Right.
I can't.
They're still happening.
I know. I can't go back. I can't. Right. I have to grow up. I have to only go forward. Mm-hmm. And the big question is, so where's God in that? Right? Like, so where's God in the, I have to go forward now. There's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's making you whatever you're going to need for the next set of the journey, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I'm going with Eve, maybe her doing it initially, but I think Adam was right there. I mean, right. He was right.
Oh, he was.
And he was right there. Well, but yeah, I really think I want to go into it saying maybe they did it together more than it was just her. That way she doesn't get such a bad rap.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's interesting. If you ever look at the old, like, statues in Italy or whatever, that's why some of that Mary stuff, one of the reasons all the Mary stuff is so important, you'll see statues of Mary, Jesus' mom, you'll see statues of Mary holding Jesus, like, as a baby, right? And then, like, on the statue, under her foot will be an apple. It's really interesting. Hmm. And so this idea that the first woman, you know, did all this. I'm trying to give you another version of that story, like, of the growing up thing. But, yeah, she got a lot of bad press. So the first woman, she ruined it for everybody, right? And then this idea that in the life of Jesus and his mother, Mary, it's one of the reasons she's raised in prominence in the Roman Catholic Church is because it's like she's going to be our new Eve. And she helps us get beyond that apple, right? So you'll see, our listeners could even go look up, there'll be paintings and everything. And you're like, what is she doing? Well, she's stepping on an apple. Or sometimes she'll have an apple in her hand and a snake under her foot. That's a fun one too. Like, she's crushing the snake and she's holding the apple. And it's this idea that we can get redeemed beyond that.
That's cool.
That growing up.
Now I know what tattoo I want. No.
You get Mary's foot.
Foot and
snake,
the apple and the
right
snake.
Underneath. Exactly. That's what you should get. But it's
interesting. Okay.
Well, it does set up, I will say, on a serious note, because I think a lot of our listeners, some of them have been really hurt by some of this rhetoric, and it has given some church traditions kind of the ammunition maybe to, you know, be pretty nasty to women. Say pretty nasty things, not allow them in leadership.
Get by with things. Right, get by with things that you wouldn't normally get by
with. And sort of just be like, oh, Eve, not my fault, Eve, you know. And so I don't want to act like there hasn't been pain there. I think that there has been a lot of unhelpful stuff over the years of that. You know, I was in Eureka Springs recently, and I was talking with a lady, and she said, well, what do you do? Which I always hate, Ram. I'll confess to you now, I hate, because people don't know what to do with me, you know, and I'm on vacation. And
I'm a podcaster.
I'm a podcaster. I said, I'm a Presbyterian pastor. And she goes, what? And I said, you know, which is pretty much and I said, yeah, in Fort Smith. And she said, I didn't even know they allowed that. And I said, I didn't even know that branch allowed that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I said, well, they've been allowing it since the 1930s. And that was fine. She seemed impressed or whatever. But I think it is important to remember, like, there are strains in the Christian family where this has been a real problem. Mm-hmm. Really beating people over the head with it, and that doesn't have to be every creek of the Christian river, right? Like, not all the creeks are the same on that issue. A lot of us have worked through this, that you don't need to blame everything on the woman,
right?
Or if you do, I mean, just in your private life.
Well, I wanted to be clear that that's what Ram wanted to do this podcast about. So
it wasn't to not bash blame all everything, the women.
To not blame the women at all.
We just do that on our off time, not at our
do that
church
when the
time.
When the mic is
exactly,
not hot.
Exactly, exactly. Ram, well, that was a good question.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. All right. Well, we'll do this again next week with Ram Ask a Question. It's another One Prez Pod.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the One Prez Pod. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Like and share are very much appreciated. You can find more information about First Presbyterian Church at www.onepres.org. Until next time, peace.